Now, I'm very excited, very, very excited to be joined by Will Hayes in the studio. Hello, Will.
Hi.
Are you all right this morning?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
Thank you for finding the studio and coming early, which is great.
Yeah, 9 a.m. It's pretty decent time to be here. Thank you.
So Will's come to join us this morning to talk to us a little bit about bumps, kind of rowing in general, what goes on, so people know what happens next week with 5 days to go until May Bumps 2014. Now, I'm going to start, Will, with a bit of kind of technical stuff. So what's dropping a bung? Because quite often there are fines for people dropping a bung, but sometimes people confuse it for actually bunging the boat, like there's going to be a hole in the boat, but that's not true, is it?
Right, no. So the way bump starts is a load of crews line up a certain distance apart on the start line, and then the gun sounds set them off. Mm-hmm. And to make sure they're all the right distance apart, each crew holds a little piece of wood on a tray. The cocks of each crew hold a little piece of wood on a chain.
Yeah.
Which are attached to the bank at certain intervals, and the piece of wood is called a bung.
Okay.
So obviously dropping the bung is not something you're trying to do, because that would, well, it would allow you to get an advantage and move your boat forward.
Right, okay.
So you'll see the difference in the fines will be drop bung, no advantage, where it's just been a mistake and the boat hasn't moved on. That'll be quite a small fine.
Uh-huh.
Or if there's been an advantage, there could be disqualification or a bigger fine.
Okay, and how far do boats start apart at bumps? Is it a boat and a half length?
Yeah, or? 1.5 lengths of clear water between the boats,
and then they sort of start by just in front of the motorway bridge, am I right in thinking?
Yes, first station goes from the motorway bridge, and the bottom station is near Bates by Lock.
One. And the whistles as well. Now, anyone listening to Cam FM coverage in the past will hear loads of whistles. It sounds like absolute commotion down at the river. Are there, what do the whistles mean? Because you have sort of one whistle, then two whistles, then constant whistles.
It's one, two, three and then constant.
Okay, so what do those mean?
It's basically just a way of communicating to your crew how far they are from the boat ahead of them.
Okay.
Because obviously everyone's racing facing backwards.
Yeah.
Different boat clubs have slightly different ways of doing it. The whistles comes from back when they would use pistols firing blanks, and they'd have six shots. So it would be one shot for getting within a length, so having close half a length of clear water, then two shots to half a length, and three shots at either a canvas off them or overlap. It varies.
Okay.
Now they use whistles. It means you can give these signals multiple times, and there's quite a lot of gamemanship from the bank party lying a little bit to their crew, because everyone's found that if you give three whistles, the crew inevitably goes faster.
Yes, that's very true, if you're being hunted down.
And some colleges are like notorious for giving whistles before they've actually got there. So I'm not going to name any names, but some will say, oh, they've got two whistles. They must be kind of getting much closer to us. And they said, well, actually, they're actually quite far outside that, is to mainly spur the crew on. And then some are very kind of, you're definitely within that distance.
And it gets very exciting with the whistles, and it just kind of adds to the atmosphere down there, doesn't it? Because I've never been at a May Bumps before. Being a fresher, Lydia, you haven't done a May Bumps either.
I've never done May, but I don't
know. What's it like down on the river? Because I went to Lents and there were a few people there, but being in the middle of term, everyone still has work. What's it like at May Bumps, the atmosphere?
At May Bumps, like, there's an awful lot of people, certainly around Grassy Corner.
Okay.
Everyone's squished together a bit because you've got to stay off the towpath, because every time a division comes down, a load of bikes go past on the towpath. But yeah, I mean, there's normally quite a lot of people drinking, sort of a party atmosphere, provided the weather's nice.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping for, actually. And you can remember that Cam FM will have a setup at the Plough. We'll have a big PA system over there, which also adds to the atmosphere with the commentary going as well. Now, you spoke about bikes there. Is it four bikes that are allowed with a boat?
Yeah.
I think so.
Bank
I think
party.
I saw that.
Yeah, bank party of four, yeah.
Okay.
Is it still the same at Mays?
Yeah.
As it was at Lents? Yeah, okay.
When a division comes down as a commentator, I just kind of just jump. I almost jumped into the river at Lents because I was just like, ah, there's so many bikes.
And you get fined for excessive bank parties. Yeah.
Yes.
So don't have excessive parties on the bank, or you get up to like £30 of fines. If you've got too many people wearing your college colours cycling along, then you get told off.
I just wanted to talk a little bit now about tactics on the course for bumps, because anyone who doesn't come to Cambridge and thinks that rowing is side by side, and obviously it's not, it bumps, you row behind each other and have to bump. But what are the kind of, are there any places on the course where you would go for a bump? Are there any sort of where you can gain advantage on the crew in front of you?
Okay. Well, typically, the only time you'd really go for a bump is when you've managed to close a certain distance on the crew ahead.
Yeah.
But there are certain features to the course. Of course, it's not a straight line.
Yeah.
That would enable you to gain on other crews. Mm-hmm. Certainly any of the corners, mm-hmm. and particularly Grassy Corner. Crews slow down an awful lot while going around the corner.
Okay.
So if you're not very far off the crew ahead, you might well be able to bump them as they go into the corner.
Right, okay. Yeah, because I listened to commentary from 2 years ago in May 2012 where someone went round the corner and because they were so slow, another boat tried to go for a bump but missed them and ended up mounting the bank, and I was just... It went very wrong.
Yeah, this is the issue. In order to take advantage of those crews slowing down, you might try and do a straight course, hoping to either hit them.
Yeah.
But if they manage to get away, then there's no way you're going to get around the corner.
Yeah.
So a lot of crews, either due to making that decision or just having an inexperienced cox who's focused on the crew ahead, will end up ploughing into the bank on the outside of corners.
Talking about the cox, how vital is that role? Because obviously you have the eight rowers, and then you have, from what it looks like for me, this cox sort of cramped in this little sort of
tiny
hole at the end just shouting at you. Is it a vital role within the boat?
Certainly in bumps it's absolutely vital.
Yeah.
There's very few races where you're not going to have to go around any corners before you hit the crew ahead. So some of those, yeah, those corners range from being reasonably easy to navigate to being really quite difficult, like a grassy corner. There's a number of coxes who for no reason whatsoever manage to park on the outside of that.
Yeah, and also like bumps calling, coxes calling bumps pushes and things. So when you get to within like 2-3 whistles, canvas, a cox needs to be able to lift a crew and to say, look, we are going to go now, we're going to get this crew in front.
Yeah.
And if there wasn't a cox to do that, then would the crew do it? Probably not, because it's hard to actually know to move together when you're kind of on the red line, past the red line.
Yeah. That's fair enough. And when you get, is there any corners, or are there any corners that a cox can't steer around on their own? I mean, I know grassy's quite tight, so do the crew have to kind of help the cox on that corner?
It's going to change from crew to crew and from boat to boat.
Right, okay.
Like, there's many people with different brands of boats, different rudder setups and fin setups. Some boats will go around the corners an awful lot easier than others. Certainly, in a lot of the lower divisions, coxes will ask for one side of the crew to pull a bit harder.
Right,
okay. To shorten up a bit. And that's because often, with the less experienced, the rowers aren't pulling as reliably on each side, so there can be random deviations in course caused by people not taking a good stroke.
Yeah.
One other technical question I thought of that I should have asked earlier. What is a crab? And what's an ejector crab? Because that sounds like a superhero to me, personally. So, Will, could you enlighten us on what a crab is?
Catching a crab is just a phrase used to describe when your blade... a failure to extract your blade from the water at the finish.
Right, okay.
Obviously, since the water's moving reasonably fast past you, if you don't get the blade out of the water, the handle will continue to move towards you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you manage to sort of limbo under it, then you'll end up with it stuck parallel to the boat, which is going to slow the boat down a lot. You have to get your blade back, but it's jammed in by the water. It's quite hard.
Yeah.
An ejector crab is if you don't manage to limbo under it and it catches you in the body.
Yeah.
If the boat's going fast enough and your feet aren't secured into the boat strongly enough, then it is possible for someone to be dragged out of the boat by the blade.
Yeah. If anyone watched the Oxford-Cambridge boat race on the Thames in April, there was a crab in the two-seat of Cambridge boat. So you would have seen the blade being kind of dragged into the water and gone parallel to the boat.
Mm.
Often they have the power to kind of pull a whole boat round as well.
Oh, blimey. It looked really painful, actually, when I watched the Oxford-Cambridge boat race.
Yeah, the guy broke his ribs, so...
Ugh. Yeah, away from broken ribs. Now, I'm probably going to ask you about two different things here, because obviously, Will, you're M1 for cats, you're W1 for fat. Now, I want to know some headship predictions and just general other predictions. I don't know if we'll be able to pull the standings up. Pull the standing ups, which you can find on our special CamFM Bumps website. But yeah, Will, M1, where do you think the headship's going to go? Now, we listened to a flashback earlier where the Keys rudder broke on the penultimate day, but they managed to bump Downing. Where do you think the headship's going, and looking further down the division, can you see any boats that are going to move?
Well, I mean, I think Downing have been training really hard in a set unit all year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's unfortunate, but I think Keys' rudder falling off is still the only thing that's going to cause them to bump Keys.
Okay.
They're likely to row over the whole time. Lady Margaret also looked reasonably fast. I don't think they'll be fast enough to bump Downing.
Okay.
In fact, I think the top four crews, although there are speed variations between them, none of them will have enough to actually close and bump over the course.
Okay. And then you've got your boat.
St. Catherine's. We'll certainly be setting off looking to bump Jesus every day.
Okay.
Every day.
And then under that, you've got first and third. Who first and third M1 actually spooned at Lentz. So are you worried about first and third?
I think, well, first and third haven't got any returners from the university squads. I think okay. there's a few people who weren't rowing at Lentz who will yep. be in the boat this year.
Okay.
We don't anticipate at St. Catharines to have any trouble with them, but right. I don't think they'll be spooning in Mays.
Okay, so you could probably predict the first, unless you catch Jesus, the first five will remain as...
I'd say maybe one or two of the crews behind first and okay. third would get them eventually, but they're not. It's not a done deal every day.
Nice. Okay, then moving on to W1.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen?
What do I think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, the Claire is very likely to be caught.
Okay.
That's pretty much the main prediction at the moment. Downing versus Claire is likely to be a downing bump to headship.
Okay.
Further down, Emma are looking really fast. Keys are looking very strong. They have lots of returners from university squads. If you look at their boat, they have mm-hmm. lots of blue stash, so they should be fast. Further down, I'm not.
What do you think about yours?
Us. I don't really want to predict us anything, to be honest. Well, we'll obviously go out and look to bump Needham every day, but we'll see.
Okay.
See what happens on the day, you know?
Fair enough. And then looking further down, obviously Peathouse got their blades last year. Do you know anything about Peathouse? What do you reckon will happen with them?
I don't. I've seen them on the river a lot, and they look pretty solid. But whether they're going to catch Cats, who are also looking actually pretty decent at the moment, I don't know. It's not a done deal. We'll see. Girton are tip for big things on fantasy bumps at the moment, which I was slightly confused by. But they do have actually. If I remember looking at their boat a few weeks ago, a few turners from university squads.
Okay, nice.
So, yeah, we'll see.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Will, for joining us in the studio this morning, and good luck for next week. I hope you do catch Jesus. I'll be at the river on Wednesday, so hopefully I'll see you get that done on the first day. And good luck to Lydia, obviously.
Thanks.
So, remember, you can listen to live, exclusive commentary of May Bumps 2014 on Cam FM from about midday next week until 8 o'clock. Long, long day for May Bumps. And then from 10:30 on Saturday until 6.